Just Desserts by Festive Ferret, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Are you sure about this guy? Bucky asked from his perch on the bathroom counter. He scrolled idly through his phone while Steve rubbed his electric shaver over his stubble. Steve shrugged. How sure do you have to be for a first date? When it's at $80 a plate, Fancy Pants new restaurant, I'd want to be pretty sure. I told you it was fine, Steve said with a sigh. He's the one that really wanted to go to Amelia's, and he promised he'd pay. What about your rule about splitting something cheap on the first date, though? I don't want you to feel obligated to this guy. Steve leaned a hip against the counter and gave Bucky a wry look. I'm not that tiny slip of a thing you rescued in an alley 15 years ago, Buck. I can take care of myself. Bucky scoffed. It's not your muscles I'm worried about, big guy. It's your stupid soft heart. He poked Steve firmly in the chest. Just promise me you won't let this rich dude treating you to a big fancy dinner go to your head or open your pants. I promise. It's not like this was some plan of his. We were originally going to go to a movie, but he's been on the wait list for a reservation at Amelia's for like 3 weeks. And the only night I was free for a date was the night he snagged. So he asked me to join him. I told him there was no way I could afford a meal like that and that he and I should just go out another time, but he insisted. I get the impression a bill like this, that would be two entire paychecks for me, is barely a nod for him. He works in finance or something. Bucky makes a vague noise. Well, as long as you have a good time. Thanks, Buck. And you know you can always call me if... Yes, Buck. Steve laughed, then tossed his razor in the drawer and made for his bedroom. He put on the nice pair of slacks he usually saved for interviews and a soft button-down shirt Bucky's mom had given him for Christmas 2 years ago. He looked himself in the cracked mirror over his dresser. Okay, it's time to get back on the horse. Put yourself out there and flirt. His stomach twisted at the very idea, but he wouldn't let himself back out now. It had already taken him 3 weeks to work up the nerve to join the dating app and another two to reply to any of the messages he'd received, but now he was determined to put himself out there and have some fun that didn't involve sweatpants, his best friend, and MLB The Show on PlayStation. You've got this, he whispered to himself. Then he nodded, grabbed his phone and wallet, and scooted out the door before Bucky could find an excuse to follow him and wait outside, or worse, hover by the table while they ate. A short subway ride deposited Steve outside Amelia's. For the hot new thing in eateries, it sure looked unassuming, small and cozy seeming, through the plate glass window. Nothing more than a small sign over the door announced the restaurant's name, but the closer Steve looked, the more he could see the little signs of quality. The tablecloths were thick and bright white. The waiters were dressed impeccably. And the diners who were already seated sported the kind of jewelry Steve rarely saw outside of TV. Steve? Asked a low, masculine voice, and Steve turned to find the guy he'd been messaging for the past 4 days. Brock, Steve extended a hand to shake. It's so nice to meet you.
You too, Brock smiled warmly. I've really been looking forward to this.
Steve returned the smile, some of the anxiety in his stomach fluttering into butterflies instead. Brock led the way into the restaurant, holding the door open for Steve. He gave his name to the waiter, and they were guided to a table for two in the middle of the room. Brock seemed a little disappointed by the location, scowling at his seat, but he didn't say anything, which Steve was grateful for. He was sure the waiter couldn't do anything about it, as they were no doubt fully booked. So you were saying you work in finance? Steve prompted, once they were seated, and their waiter had placed a single sheet of thick paper in front of each of them. But Brock waved the question away. Stock trading stuff, but I don't feel like talking about work. He picked up his menu. Let's order, and then I want to hear about what you do for fun.
Okay.
Steve admired the menu. It was simple and succinct. Just the single strip of paper, but each of the four appetizers and six entrees sounded amazing, and it took Steve a few moments of dithering to settle on the salmon. Thankfully, no prices were listed. Brock clicked his fingers at the waiter, which Steve wasn't thrilled by, but she didn't seem bothered, and she took both their orders with a smile.
Brock urged Steve to talk about his hobbies, but as soon as he mentioned art, Brock took the mic and told a meandering story about a friend of his who did graphic design for some online tactical gear retailer. Steve nodded and smiled in the right places. He wasn't one to judge a date so early on, but so far Brock was bland. He didn't give many details about his life, and most of his stories seemed to be about his friends. When Steve talked, Brock looked as if he was listening, but in a paced-and-on sort of way that made Steve think he was just waiting for his turn to speak. Not that Steve could judge. He was all but doing the same thing. Dinner arriving was a welcome change of topic, and they both focused on their food for a while. It was by far the best salmon Steve had ever had, and more than once, he found he'd completely missed something Brock had said because he was so absorbed by enjoying his meal. "Can I interest you gentlemen in dessert?" the waiter asked after clearing their plates, holding out the delicate strip of paper with the desserts listed. Steve could see creme brulee on the list, but he deferred to Brock, not wanting to overextend his date's kindness. "Oh, I never eat dessert," Brock said dismissively. "Nothing tastes good enough to make up for the extra hour I'll have to do at the gym." The waiter turned to Steve, smiling kindly, but he shook his head. "Thank you." He tried not to look too disappointed as the creme brulee fluttered out of view back in the waiter's apron pocket. "Just the check," Brock said. He turned back to Steve. "This was fun. We should do it again sometime." "Absolutely," Steve said politely. He might be willing to, really. It wasn't like this date had been bad, per se. It just wasn't super exciting. But it was new. They were just getting to know each other. It was worth giving a chance. "I'm just going to pop to the bathroom," Brock said. "I'll be right back." Steve nodded as Brock pushed away from the table and slipped through the back door towards the hall with the bathrooms. Their waiter was offering dessert to the table beside theirs, and Steve wondered if it would be terribly out of line to ask for a creme brulee packed up to go. He'd pay for it himself, of course. He was pretty sure he could afford that much. But that would be weird, right? Brock would think that was weird when Steve had said no to dessert. The waiter slid a sleek black leather folder onto the table by Steve's elbow, and he resisted the urge to peek inside. He'd rather not know. Bucky had been exaggerating when he said Steve would feel obligated. But if they kept dating, Steve wouldn't want to always be doing the math on how many burgers and shakes it would take to pay him back for this. Steve's eyes flicked over to the hallway Brock had disappeared down. He was taking a while. Hopefully everything was okay. Steve took out his phone, unable to resist the need to look busy instead of twiddling his thumbs waiting for Brock to return. He scrolled through his notifications, mostly check-ins from Bucky, which he replied to, and a few from a silly mobile game about rescuing dogs that he liked to play on the subway. There was also one from the dating app he'd met Brock on, a new match. Steve swiped it open, his cheeks heating. He wasn't shopping around. That'd be rude. He was just making the notification go away. Steve glanced over the profile he'd matched with, but nothing stood out. He checked the doorway again. No Brock. But the app open on his phone gave Steve an idea. He should text Brock and make sure he was okay. Steve clicked through his recent messages on the app. There weren't many, so Brock should be easy to find, but his conversation window was gone. Steve poked around a bit, but he couldn't find Brock's messages. They'd never traded phone numbers, just messaged each other inside the app. Steve went back to his match history and clicked on Brock's profile. Blocked. Brock had blocked him. Brock had blocked him. That asshole! He wasn't coming back, Steve realized. A pit opening up in his stomach and heat crawling up the back of his neck. Brock had blocked him and ghosted him and left him with the check. "Oh, God!" Steve hissed. Anger obliterated by humiliation. The leather folder on the table next to him seemed to grow until it covered the entire table. Brock had left without paying. He had dined and dashed and left Steve with the bill and absolutely no way of paying. Fuck. Steve had no way of paying. He only had one credit card and it was already close to maxed out. There was no way his bank account had enough in it to cover the bill, a bill he still couldn't bring himself to even look at. He couldn't leave without paying, but he couldn't pay. There wasn't anyone he could ask for help, either. Obviously, his friends would try, but it wouldn't be fair. Bucky couldn't afford this any more than Steve could, and it would take Steve ages to be able to pay him back. Steve took a deep breath and tried to calm himself down.
Okay. He just had to look at the amount, and then he could check his credit card and his bank statement and see if there was enough space. If not, maybe he could call the credit card company and have his limit up just this once. Then at least he could leave the restaurant and sort it out in the comfort of his own home. Steve swallowed hard and reached for the folder, but before his fingers could close around it, it was whipped away by another hand. Steve looked up, startled, as an attractive, dark-haired man slipped into the seat Brock had vacated. "Hi," the man said. "Hi." The man's smile was utterly charming, completely disarming, and Steve resisted the urge to smile back. He had no idea who this was. "So I was sitting over there," the man gestured vaguely, "trying to get some work done, and I couldn't help but notice your dining companion slip out the back door." Steve could feel his ears turning bright red, and he wished he was wearing a hat he could pull down over them. He stammered uselessly. "He ditched you, didn't he?" Steve didn't know what to say. "He's a dickhole. You deserve better. You're way too hot to be this sad." He couldn't help it. A laugh barked its way out of Steve's throat. "Thank you?" "Don't thank me for that. Thank me for this." The man lifted the folder he was holding, the bill Steve was supposed to pay, and passed it to the waiter as he scooted by, who scooped it up with a nod. What are you doing?" Steve watched his doom disappear into the back kitchen, apparently taken care of, hopefully wiping that look of sheer panic off your face. "Oh my God, I can't let you do that. That has to be..." Steve couldn't confess that he didn't even know how much it had been. "All I ask in return is that you tell me what happened here, just to sate my curiosity. I've sort of been building a narrative in my head, but I like knowing if I'm right." Steve blinked at the man for a moment, then shrugged. "Well, we met on this dating app, and he already had a reservation for Amelia's. He said he'd pay, and I'm an idiot, so I agreed. He got up to go to the bathroom and slipped out the back. I'm a schmuck." Steve dropped his chin into his hand with a sigh. "How about adorably trusting?" the man offered with a chuckle. That prompted another little chuckle out of Steve. "Sure sounds better. I really can't let you pay for all that, though, or at least give me your number so I can pay you back." The man's eyebrow quirked up. "Oh my, that's a new one. You work fast, don't you?" "What?" Steve flushed hot again. "Oh no, I wasn't..." But the man started laughing. "I'm kidding. I'm just teasing you. God, you're cute." He leaned forward. "You don't have to pay me back, honest. Just believe me when I say it's absolutely no hardship to take care of that for you. Pay it forward someday if you must." "I will," Steve said honestly, because what else could he do? He couldn't actually pay the man back. "Thank you." "You probably want to get out of here and never come back." Steve sighed. He kind of did. "But on the other hand, have you had dessert yet? I'll admit the whole bill is out of my budget, but I think I could manage 2 creme brulees if you'd like that." The man's expression twisted into something Steve couldn't quite put his finger on. Curiosity, maybe? Intrigue? Or shock at how brazenly bad Steve was at whatever it was he was trying to do? Or not? "You said you were working. You're probably busy." No, dessert sounds perfect. If you're sure you want to have it with me." Steve nodded. "It's the least I can do." The man smiled kindly at the waiter and raised his eyebrows, causing her to flutter back over to their table. 2 creme brulees, please." "Of course," she left. "Tony," said the man. "Pardon?" "My name's Tony." Oh, I'm Steve." Steve reached across the table to shake Tony's hand. "So what do you do, Tony?" He had to be doing pretty well for himself to so comfortably cover a stranger's bill. "I'm a business owner." "Oh, wow. That must be exciting." Tony chuckled. "It has its moments. What about you?" "Well, my student debt says architect, but my pay stubs say DoorDash customer service representative." "Ouch." "Yeah, I'm chasing leads, but it's a tough field to break into." "I bet." There was something in Tony's expression, a warm interest that had been absent in Brock's, that made Steve wonder if maybe Tony had come over due to more than just pity. Maybe this night was salvageable after all.
Their dessert chose that moment to arrive, a pristine ramekin set in front of each of them, with a crispy golden caramel topped with a few decorative berries. "Wow, this is beautiful."
"Tastes even better," Tony said, picking up his spoon. "You've had it before?"
"Oh, yeah. I eat here a lot."
Steve tipped his head to the side in curiosity. Well, if Tony could afford to eat here often, maybe covering Steve and Brock's bill really wasn't a big deal to him. Whatever business he owned, it had to be a lucrative one.
"Can I ask why you agreed to come here on a first date with a guy you don't know very well?"
Steve sighed. "You sound like my roommate," he shrugged. "Look, I'll be honest. I've wanted to come here since it opened. It was mentioned on a foodie blog I follow, and it looks so good. So I guess I let myself be pushed into a bad idea when Brock suggested it. This is not how I saw things turning out, though."
"Was the food worth it, though?" Tony's eyes twinkled. Steve grinned. "It was pretty amazing."
Tony nodded in agreement, scooping one of the berries off the top of his dessert and popping it in his mouth.
"So, business owner, huh? What kind of business do you own?"
Tony hesitated, but he looked amused instead of concerned or offended. "I inherited a large tech company when my dad died, and now I mostly focus on investing in small businesses and startups."
"Wow, that's incredible. You must see all kinds of up-and-coming stuff. What's your favorite kind of business to invest in?"
Tony cracked the caramel on top of his creme brulee and curled his spoon through the custard. He met Steve's eye.
"Restaurants."
He slid the spoon between his lips, which curled up at the corners.
Steve stilled. He didn't mean...
Did he?
Steve's eyes cut over to the corner Tony had gestured to before. There was a table which had to be Tony's, covered in paperwork, a laptop, and a tablet tucked out of the main dining room, right by the door to the back. There was something far too cozy and integrated about that table for it to be for just another customer.
"Ah," Steve said.
Tony leaned in further. "I helped Amelia get this place off the ground, and in return she lets me work here sometimes and keeps me well fed. So really, me taking care of your bill wasn't a big deal for me. Don't sweat it."
"Wow. Well, okay." A mess of feelings swirled through Steve's chest. He was still embarrassed about Brock and now feeling pretty embarrassed about Tony, too. This kind man had seen Steve struggling and decided to take care of his bill. And of course, feeling slighted and unwanted, Steve had hoped there was more there than there was. And then he'd roped the poor guy into having dessert with him, a dessert the guy would apparently get for free if he'd wanted to order it for himself.
Tony made an odd noise as Steve looked up to see his expression twisted up with what looked like disappointment.
"I made things weird, didn't I?"
"No," Steve insisted. It's kind of been a crazy night."
"I'll give you that," Tony agreed. "Are you okay?"
"Yeah, it's..."
Steve looked down at his uncracked creme brulee. "Can I just ask you a really blunt question?"
"Yeah, of course."
Steve braced himself to be rejected for a second time that night. "Did you come over here just because you felt sorry for me, or because..."
"Because I thought you were hot. I noticed you when you first came in," Tony confessed. "I thought, wow, that guy's cute, and he seems really nice. But then you were with that asshole guy, and I just..." He shrugged.
"But work is boring, so I kept an eye on you guys. Then I saw on Dasher sneak out the back, and I saw the way you were looking at the bill like it was a snake about to bite you, and I couldn't help myself. The truth is, if I hadn't noticed you when you first came in, and maybe even had a moment where I wished I was here with a guy like you instead of alone, I wouldn't have figured out you'd been so rudely abandoned."
Steve tried to work through what Tony was trying to say.
"Then I realized how awful it was to hit on you while you were having such a shitty night. But then you asked me to stay for dessert, so I thought, hey, maybe you were into the white knight thing and willing to look past the creepy part. But then I put my foot in my mouth and got weird about my job, which, I'll be honest, has turned off the last three people I tried to date."
Steve frowned.
"People are turned off by you owning a bunch of companies?"
Tony shrugged. "They're either turned off or way too turned on, if you know what I mean."
"Who's to say I'm not just a gold digger, too?" Steve said with a smile.
Tony laughed. "You look like you were 2 seconds from offering to wash dishes in the back to work up both your debt and Dasher's. Doesn't seem very gold diggery. But also for a smile like yours, I'm willing to take stupid chances, apparently. Steve's cheeks heated with something that wasn't humiliation for the first time that night. I was. He picked up his spoon and cracked his caramel, reveling in the satisfaction of it snapping with every smack. He scooped some up and put it in his mouth. It was sweet and creamy and perfect, with a satisfying crunch. Wow, I'd definitely wash dishes for this. He dove in for more. Tony laughed. Would you agree to a second date for more? Steve looked up sharply. With you? No, with Shelley, the waiter. Of course with me, he laughed. Amelia always wants to feed me. We could come in after they're closed and she'd do a little tasting menu of all her experimental stuff. Sorry, you're asking me out? Properly? If that's okay, Tony said. As you said, you've had a crazy night, and I'm sure you want to get home and change into your soft pants. But if you're open to it, I've at least got to be better than Casper, right? He gestured towards the door Brock had bailed through. So far, miles better. I'd love to go out with you. And a private tasting sounds, wow, but this is stupid. But last time I bet my first date rules a few hours ago, I kind of got screwed over. And even though you're the one who saved me from it. Tony tipped forward, bracing his elbows on the table. Name the time and the place. I'll be there. Even to split a pizza? Steve asked. Can we get ice cream after? Steve smiled. If things go well. Then that sounds perfect. I'll give you my number. Steve handed his phone over to Tony to add the contact. I'm really glad I met you tonight, Tony. Thank you for saving this awful evening. Tony handed the phone back. Thank you for giving me a chance, even if I was a bit of a creep. You weren't, aren't. You've been such a gentleman. I can never thank you enough for making up for Brock's awful behavior and bailing me out. You know, I'd happily pay you back. It'd just take me a while. You already have. You saved my evening, too. I was doing expense reports. This is much better. Well, if this is our first date, I guess we'd better make the most of it since it started out on the late side, Steve said, digging back into his dessert. Tony beamed at him. Excellent plan. So, tell me all about this roommate of yours, or why you wanted to be an architect. Do you have any pets? Steve laughed. He smiled up at Tony from under his eyelashes, all the negative feelings from earlier in the evening fading away. Come on, Tony, save some for the second date. Pizza and ice cream, Tony confirmed. And then maybe for the third? Steve bit his lip. Yes? Maybe for the third we can come back here and have the creme brulee again because this is the best thing I've ever eaten. Tony laughed, warm and bright. He tipped his chin into his hand. You got it. The end.